Welcome to Clay and Iron. I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, and our special guest today is Eric Phelps, the author of the original book, Vatican Assassins. I consider one of the most important books in modern history, exposing what's really going behind the scenes and history for the last thousands of years, to tell us exactly who are the puppeteers, who is actually controlling our modern history, and not just the external faces, the presidents and the other people that are the corporate executives, but the people that are controlling those puppets, the people that control people like J.P. Morgan and so on, behind the scenes that are actually running this world. Welcome to the program, Eric.
Pleasure to be with you, Dr. Deagle, and your guests.
Well, I hope everybody can listen to the program. We have a two-hour program on Mondays, and this is wonderful because we have a nice open format to cover lots of important topics. Now, you have your new version of the Vatican Assassins, a second edition coming out. It's going to be a huge project, which you've been working on for many years. But it's going to come out in an e-book DVD version. Otherwise, it would be about, as you mentioned before airtime, about an 8-pound book. Because
right.
If people don't want to believe that this is the truth, as I always say on my Nutramedical Report on Genesis, which I just finished a few moments ago, and on this show, please don't believe anything that I say. Go check it out. And you have the references. I mean, you have years and years of actual documents, references, testimonials from people that are deep within the networks that you quote from, that will tell you specifics that says, you know, this is the controlling factors that control modern history. And if you don't know that, you won't understand the roots of what caused the First World War, the Second World War, the current corporate plans for our, quote, New World Disorder, I call it the Old World Disorder, or anything. You won't really understand exactly what's going on with the religious confusion in our modern society, and the power brokers that are doing some very evil things to our society and the plans that they want to instill in the very near future with places like Jerusalem. And again, your knowledge and your information meshes perfectly with people like Barry Shamish, a Jewish journalist and historian right in Jerusalem, is talking about what's going on in that Sabbatean, Luciferian Zionist state. And I have some partial Jewish roots, so I can't say bad things about Jewish people, okay?
Right.
But
right.
What I'm saying is that Zionism, as it is now, which is not a religious movement, but a political and Luciferian movement that's anti-Jewish, is not in the best interest of the Jewish people. As it says right in the Bible itself, that the Jews will return to the land when the Messiah returns. So in other words, if you get to the real Torah Jews, they'll tell you that they shouldn't even be back there until Messiah comes back to bring them back into the land.
Well, here's where I have a little differ there, if I might be able to go in that a little bit, if it's all right, Doc.
Yeah, I'm just referring to what they say. I'm just quoting them.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't understand these roots of what's going on in Israel, how the nation got founded, that's just one of many aspects of the amazing range of information you cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the book is right now 1,328 pages. I would imagine when I'm done here in about a month, it'll be 1,400. I believe it's best to put out in CD form that I can just send everywhere to whoever wants it, and then the copyright will allow the purchaser to download it in book form where he's at.
Right.
And therefore, the mailing that he would spend, the postage on mailing, he can put it towards make it into book form for himself. So I kind of think that's what I'd like to do right now, most of all.
I think so. I think that's the way to do it, especially now because many of this book has got such important information. If people really want to know what's going on in the world financial system, our religious systems, our geopolitical, the above government programs, all the programs that are involved with trying to change the very nature of what our planet is for a place to live, they need to get this material. So give us some of the information, the key gems of what you've found since you wrote the first Vatican Assassins.
Before I get into it, I just want to encourage your listeners to please do not buy the first edition for $250 on eBay. Just please don't. If you just wait a little longer, you have the third edition. It'll be double in length. There's many corrections, many grammatical corrections, many, many new quotes, many wonderful new pictures, and it'll be worth the wait. So please. Yes, the whole thesis of my book is that the Bible is the Word of God, and therefore in thy light we shall see light, and thus the Bible speaks to an international world conspiracy headed by the devil and based in Rome, pursuant to Revelation 17:18, that great city which thou sawest is that that woman which thou sawest is the great city which ruleth over the kings of the earth. And that city sits on seven hills. It cannot be Jerusalem because Jerusalem was never built on seven hills.
Right.
It is located
There's no
on
city
Mount.
In the world it was. This is the only city in the world.
And that's the facts. Those are the facts.
Right.
The historical facts will always match the truth of the Bible.
Right.
The other maxim that I use is in Luke 21, 24 through 27, in that with the fall of Jerusalem in 70 A.D., pursuant to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Jews would be taken captive in all nations, we would have what was now called the times of the Gentiles, and the times of the Gentiles would continue until the Messiah would return, which
right.
means that even though there's a nation of Israel today, and Jews are living in it, we're still living under the times of the Gentiles because Gentiles rule that city. 60% of all the land in Jerusalem is owned by the Vatican.
Right.
The Temple Mount's been deeded to the Vatican since 1993. So the Pope rules Jerusalem through his Masonic Jewish Zionists that he controls with his, you know, Shin Bet and Mossad, the secret police is there in that country, which are nothing more than extensions of the Central Intelligence Agency that the papacy and the soldiers of the papacy first founded in this country in 1947.
Right, and of course that was basically through the
Knights of Malta.
Exactly.
We have the Knights of Malta with William J. Donovan, Wild Bill Donovan, whose brother Vincent was a Dominican priest.
Right.
And
now,
we have a connection.
People may find this a stretch and they say, oh, well, the Catholic Church is in decline and all this. How do you counter those comments?
Yeah, that's not the issue. We're talking about not the Roman Catholic people. We're talking about a hierarchy.
Right. And we're talking about a corporation, in other words.
We're talking about really a sovereign nation, because the sovereign state of Vatican City is a sovereign nation in the law, and it has a king. The Pope has the status of a monarch.
Right.
He cannot be sued. He cannot be brought into any court of law. He has ambassadors. He has his own money system. He has his own bodyguards. And it is a sovereign state that's separate from the nation of Italy.
Yeah, and it's very analogous in many ways to the sovereign one-square-mile royal city of the Royal Bar in London.
Yes, the same thing. The old city of London is a sovereign state, and the Queen has to curtsy before the Lord Mayor there in London, old city.
Right, and as Lord Mayor of that city, actually, the Queen must curtsy or bow to him.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so the Jesuits rule the old city of London in that they control all the banking.
Right.
The Gentile bankers who run that city have subordinate Rothschild Jewish families working for them. But the Rothschilds
right.
are the keepers of the Vatican treasures, and you can even find that in the Jewish encyclopedia.
Right. And, of course, that money goes back to the Venetians, the Venice, and, of course, the connection with the Venetians and the royal city in London as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so the height of the Dark Ages, which is what we're going back to,
right.
you had the Pope ruling all the kings who controlled the governments.
Right.
The kings ruled the people. If the king became disobedient, the Pope would relieve all the people of their allegiance towards him.
Right.
And if the people became disobedient, the Pope would use the king to subdue them. So,
or he had his own private army, which the Pope did through many centuries, had their own private armies as well.
Right, and he also utilized the armies of other nations like France and Germany and others.
And he could take over their armies just by a command of his own.
Absolutely.
He could just write an encyclical command that he was now in charge of their armies and he would do with them as he pleased.
Yes, and we also cannot forget that at the time of the Dark Ages, when the Pope was the king of Europe, in fact, the monarch of the world, it was illegal for the common man to own a crossbow.
Right.
So that, you know, ownership of weapons for defense against the military in your country was strictly forbidden.
Well, it sounds exactly like in China. Most people wonder where the chopstick came from. They don't realize it was actually the first Chinese dynasty where the emperor did not want to have anyone near within miles of him that had a knife, so that he decreed that they had to eat with sticks.
I see.
And that's where the chopstick came from, believe it or not.
Huh. Excellent.
Very similar. You see, only they have the modern version of that. I guess the chopstick and the airlines, you only have plastic forks. You can't have anything other than plastic.
Right. And so what we have is the devil doing his best, using his Vatican, using his papacy, to bring the world back to the Dark Ages.
Right.
And
it's the resurrection of the unholy Roman Empire, which is, by the way, not Christian. I mean,
right.
It's not Christian. Catholic. I mean, sorry, is the Pope Christian? No.
No, Roman Catholicism.
The Pope
is
a Luciferian world ruler that has nothing to do with the faith of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah.
Amen. That's exactly right. And all the historic Protestants acknowledged that. That's what Luther said. Luther called the Pope his, instead of his holiness, he called him his hellishness. He said that Rome was built over hell, and he called Rome essentially Babylon, especially when Luther went there and he was served by 10 naked women. So the Vatican, the Papal Empire, was absolutely forbidden and abhorred by historic Protestant nations such as Germany, Holland, France with the Huguenots. There was inroads into Bohemia and Poland, but then the Jesuits killed out all the Protestants with the first 30 years war.
Right, and of course, this is the roots of the real root of the First and Second World War. In fact, there was a note that was actually a letter from Albert Pike that's in the British Royal Museum that actually delineates this, that the First and Second World Wars were supposed to be, and this is back in the almost 200 years ago, that the First and Second World Wars were against the German people and the people of Central Europe because they were the start of the Reformation. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's right. So we have
against the Nazism. Nazism was just an epiphenomenon that was used to bring them together under the control of Adolf Hitler, who was actually another operative.
That's right. Hitler was trained by Jesuits in Austria.
Right.
And he was a Thule member. He was a high-level Freemason. He only became a German in 1932. And
right.
So, yes, he was brought into Bavaria. And Bavaria, remember, is the strongest Jesuit stronghold north of the Alps in all of Europe.
Right.
So to understand the rise of the NSDAP, we have to realize that the Jesuits ruled Munich and ruled Bavaria.
And if you don't understand that, you will not understand that the Adam Weishaupt founding, quote, the group under the Jesuits called the Illuminati, which people hear about and they're listening to the Da Vinci Codes.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hear the real roots. That's why the same year, of course, is the founding of America, because it was founded as one nation under God. But that God isn't the God of the universe, our God, which is, you know,
it
is a Jabalon, which is their triune Masonic God, which is why you see it all over the money and everything. I mean,
I will not see. That's the way it is now, though, Doc. Back then, it was indeed the God of the Bible. There were Masons involved in the Revolution. I mean,
right, but it got more and more mutated, of course, because there were original founders were believers Masons there too.
There were Calvinists, and
right.
It was the Calvinists like Timothy Dwight and John Witherspoon. John Witherspoon was the impetus behind citing the Declaration of Independence. And when someone said to him in the Great Hall, he said, I think the time is not ripe. And Witherspoon stood up and said, gentlemen, the time is not ripe, but rotten. And it was that Calvinist Presbyterian, the president of Princeton, who was the real motivating force behind signing that Declaration of Independence.
Absolutely. In fact, this is the real crux of modern history right now, is that the only nation in the world that's a republic is America.
That's right. And unfortunately,
that is a very important fact, because republic, you receive your rights from your creator, not from a constitution and not from a government.
Yeah, and we'll clarify the republic in that it was a Calvinistic republic. America
Absolutely.
Was called the Kingdom of Calvin.
Right.
And therefore, in that first republic was Geneva. And Geneva was called the Thermopylae of Europe, where that was really the first birth pangs of political liberty under the leadership of John Calvin when he ruled Geneva. In spite of the fact of what was done to Servetus, Servetus was told not to come to Geneva, and he came anyway because he was sent by the Jesuits from Spain, so that Servetus was a Spanish physician seeking to overthrow the political liberty of Geneva. But Geneva, then Holland, then the Commonwealth under Cromwell, and then finally the American nation, the Republic, was called the Calvinist Confederate or Federal Republic of these United States of America, and all the states were Protestant, including Maryland. And Lord Baltimore was at war with the Jesuits himself.
Yes. Yeah, so, and see, this is important historically, because I believe America, I consider a duality that is literally, if you want to call it the, in a sense, modern Israel, which is a nation under God. God says, you know, even though, you know, my people are no longer my people, I can raise up stones, literally living stones that will be worship me. And people don't understand that America has, in a sense, become a Babylonish nation, but
That's
it's
correct.
Also the daughter of Zion. It's actually true Zionism is to serve your God. And if you serve your God, then he brings you into Zion, which is relationship with him.
Yes.
And that's important because there's a lot of, there's really only two religions in the whole world, if you want to call it. There,
mm-hmm.
One is you serve God and you hear his voice and you do it, or you do otherwise.
Right.
And
yes.
Whatever label they want to put on it,
right.
That's what we're dealing with. And
right.
Ultimately that is, I will do what I wilt, which
that's
is,
right.
You know, the purveyors of this are Luciferianisms that control all the transnational corporations, all the governments, all the above government agencies, the NSA, CIA, SAS, all of these, you know, the defense intelligence agencies, the national security, CIA, all the agencies of CSIS in Canada and Britain, MI5 and 6 and British and Brazilian secret security, every agency in the world is Luciferian.
Right. They're all Masonic.
Everyone.
All involved in these secret mysteries. And unfortunately, America was destroyed with the war between the states. Even Karl Marx calls the Civil War, quote-unquote, or the war between the states, he calls it our French Revolution. And he was right. And with the overthrow of America, it was a war essentially on the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant South. That's why Meade was not allowed to take Lee after the defeat at Gettysburg, where only Lee lost two guns. And so it was to continue to be a war of annihilation against the Southern people.
Right.
And after that, we had the Reconstruction. And then by 1870, during this time of Reconstruction, when the states were under martial law, we have the forced ratification of the 14th Amendment. And the 14th Amendment completely changed the Calvinist Republic into an empire, a Jesuit empire. It made U.S. citizenship primary and your state citizenship a privilege granted from U.S. citizenship, whereas before you were first a citizen of your sovereign state, a Virginian or a Pennsylvanian, and then you were thereby a citizen of the United States. And the privileges and immunities of that subordinate U.S. citizenship included the Bill of Rights. But the privileges and immunities of the new U.S. citizenship that they created for blacks, for whites, and everybody else does not include the Bill of Rights, and that's Maxwell versus Dow and Twining versus New Jersey, where the Supreme Court said that. So what we have is we have no real freedoms living under 14th Amendment jurisdiction.
Right. And give us exactly what the 14th Amendment says specifically as to how they perverted the actual original intention of the Constitution.
Okay, the key is in Section 1. It says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside.
Right.
That sentence right there overthrew everything.
Right, and this is actually the ultimate purpose of organizations like the United Nations set up by the Queen,
mm-hmm.
and the people like Prince Charles and all the other officials of the royal monarchs and these above government agencies, because their idea is they have to knock national walls down and they have to knock local, because if you have a sovereign state like the state of Virginia or New York or Connecticut, and that those have to be respected and their rights in that state, it changes the entire thing. When you ban something like aspartame, it was about to be banned under pressure with Governor Richardson in New Mexico, what did the Congress do? It passed a law that said, no, our federal laws supersede yours. Even
yeah.
if you've banned those things, and we don't, well, it doesn't matter anymore. So
right.
California had banned all kinds of toxins in their food supply, and now the federal government just waltzes in and said, well, your laws don't mean anything. Too bad.
That's right. See, that's why I advocate secession. I say the only solution, politically speaking, humanly speaking, is secession, that some state.
Right, and that's why I don't agree with playing in the federal game anymore.
That's right.
It has to be on your local and your state
that's
level.
Right.
And once they secede, they can reform the union
that's
which
right.
was originally founded in the United States.
That's right.
Which is a republic based on you as a spirit. Man, woman, that has rights from your creator, whether you're a pre-born child or an elderly person. What we have coming is very nasty, and people don't see the end from the beginning. They don't realize that if you're turned into, literally by the state, an object as a machine or a piece of property, and you're literally turned as chattel and given as collateral against international debts, which is what America's Constitution,
right.
Federal Reserve, has done,
right.
It's actually converted the American public. And even your property, when people think they own stocks, for example, they don't own the stocks. Those stocks are given to seed corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And then that basically means that you don't have the right to the property. The property is owned by a proxy that has the actual title, and you don't.
That's right. They have hypothecated all the land and all the labor of the people to the Federal Reserve as collateral for its national debt.
Right, and the Federal Reserve is fractional reserve. It's debt created out of thin air by the international royals.
Right, it's crime.
It's the most horrendous, evil crime, and now the debt is nearly $90 trillion with a T dollars, and now the interest on the debt is something like $8.7 trillion right now that we can't pay.
Right.
This current war is written on a debt note with the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, and isn't even written against the Federal Reserve. And they decided in March no longer are they going to print the M3, so we're not going to have any idea. They printed an extra $2 or $3 trillion. So it's not surprising with this Ponzi scheme that the Chinese and other people that have been buying our debts basically for decades are having a little bit of a panic attack.
They're getting out of dollars. That's right.
Well, they want to, but here's the cost of cards. If you have the largest debtor nation in the world, which is America, with its in debt up to its eyeballs created by these monsters, and you have this strong nation with all these people and all this hardware and equipment and everything, and people think they own their own home and they own their roadways that are now being given over to people like the King of Spain. I mean, here comes the King of Spain, head of a corporation out of Europe,
that walks
into the I-35 corridor and says they're going to set up this Trans-Aztec corridor that's going to go from Chiapas province in southern Mexico all the way through the northern Canada. That's a little scary when all of a sudden they're passing over state property to a foreign corporation owned by a royal.
Is that right?
It's already been prepaid.
Uh-huh.
And only given a right of way for half a mile on either side of the corridor, about 200 feet down, to put in pipelines for oil, gas, water, underground trains, anything they want to do.
Okay, this makes perfect sense, and I'm sure this is what Juan Carlos was negotiating with when he went to visit the Bushes at Crawford. Of course, Big Daddy Bush is a Knight of Malta. His father was a Knight of Malta, helped found the CFR.
Right.
And so they're in their company with their Knight of Malta, King Juan Carlos of Spain, who's a Bourbon, and who is, in fact, Jesuit-trained and Jesuit-advised.
Right.
So that makes perfect sense to me. The way to stop this is secession. And you know what? This fanatical alien invasion that Bush and Fox are both behind can be stopped by any state seceding, in fact, a county. Because when our forefathers seceded from England, the first county to do so was called Mecklenburg County.
Right.
It
in fact, your county sheriff is the highest legal authority in the land even today. And that's why they still want to try to take over the power using the power of money against the county sheriff, because there is no one that carries a gun or has the authority to arrest higher than your county sheriff.
That's right. And
anywhere in the United States.
That's right. So what he could do is when the county secedes, he just deputizes all of us. We all have our guns. We all go down to the border, and we stop them coming across the border.
Right.
And I believe in shooting anybody that comes across the border as I would shoot anybody that would come in my house or anybody that would break into my car and steal it, which is the only means for me to make a living.
Well, here's what they're going to do next, and I'm going to tell you how the trap is being set, because I've got lots of context as to what's going on. They now have probably 30 million, not 5 or 10, 30 million illegals. Now, there's no reason why anybody from any nation or any religious group can't legally migrate to America if it's done properly. But here's the problem. When you have illegals carrying disease, when you have illegals that are often criminals in their own country, when you have illegals that don't have an intention of building up the country but want to take it over, then what you have is you have basically an invasion force sitting like sleepers ready to take over. Now, here's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to incite hatred, and they're trying to do it between Hispanic people. There's lots of great Hispanic people that are good American citizens.
But they came here legally.
They came here legally, and they've been Americans, and they fought in the wars and everything, and they legally have a right to be here just like you or I. But the problem is when you have illegals in the nation, you have a situation where they want to create a schism, a balkanization, and then they're going to activate their internment camps. And, of course, some people say, yeah, it's great you're showing those illegals in those internment camps. They're now talking, and Bush has said this, he wants to put a chip in them all. He wants to stick the mark of the beast, the chip, in every one of these illegals. Now, this is exactly analogous to Bonhoeffer in the Second World War, where they came for this group that we didn't like, and then they came for that group we didn't like.
Right.
And pretty soon, as Bonhoeffer said, there was nobody left to speak up for him.
Right.
And that's why I think this is particularly dangerous. We can't let this get to the point where it gets out of control, because their response to it will be the first step in sticking the chip eventually in us.
Yeah.
Taking our
yeah.
children from us, putting us in civil detention
right.
facilities, underground
right.
factories under
right.
That they've already built. Not just 660 were built by Bechtel Corporation and so on above ground, but lots of underground ones
uh-huh.
where you'll never see the light of day again.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And people need to know
yeah.
they built 200 of these ones for 100,000, two of a million apiece, and they just finished one for 2.5 million people, and they have ones that have been built. I personally visited one in 1983. In Kananaskis country on the Blood Indian Reserve that could have held 500,000 people. And I asked my CSIS director guy who told me this, I won't release his name, he told me the year before, he kept bugging me to go down there. He was one of the senior guys in Canadian Security Intelligence, like the CIA director or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he laughed when I got there because I had to drive back really fast because I got on this reserve and the guy came down from the guard tower and he had a machine gun and everything. I said, what are you doing here? I said, you got a camp here that's just it's the size of Calgary. Calgary is larger than the surface area of Los Angeles.
Huh.
I said, this is huge. I said, what are you doing here? I don't see any prisoners. And he came down, you're going to get shot. You're going to kill. I said, what are you guys doing here? And there was a spur line running up, a rail line running all the way up, you know, from, I believe, Idaho or Montana right into the area. And it's an area we call Terrell Dinosaur Country. There's just nothing, not a blade of grass grows. All it has is little pebbles piled on top of other little pebbles and big rocks and little rocks. And when I drove out about 3 miles, I went back and looked at it because it's in the foothills near the Rocky Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't see the end of it. You could see the sun because it was starting to get later in the afternoon, reflecting off it, and you could not see the end of this thing. And I asked, because I was a civil aviation examiner, I asked my pilots, I said, if you plot a course over this area, what happens? He said, you immediately go to prison for 5 years, and you lose your pilot's license instantaneously.
Uh-huh.
Because you're not allowed to even plot a course over there. If you plot a flight path over that area,
uh-huh.
you're gone.
Uh-huh.
That's in Canada.
We're
not talking about the evil empire now. We're talking about 1983 in Canada.
Uh-huh.
So
that makes perfect sense. So that's why I tell the Mexicans and all the illegals, you better get out of here because you're all going to the camps.
Yeah.
They
need to know that President Bush is going to do this. He wants to incite things. And it's no different than having the anarchist try to disrupt in Seattle, so they ended up throwing a lot of regular citizens that just were peacefully protesting down
mm-hmm.
there, the World Trade Organization,
mm-hmm.
a couple of years ago, and they ended up throwing them in the Sandpoint Prison down there near the waterfront. That's ridiculous. And they're going to do this again. They want to create catastrophe so that they can then have a justification. Once they get them, well, of course, you got to get a stick of chip in the sex offenders.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, we got to stick a chip in this group because those children, they could get lost.
Right.
And now, you know what? We got a bunch of people that they just did misdemeanors, but we got their DNA. We might as well stick a chip in them, too. And before you know it, they're walking up and saying, you know, you better roll up your sleeve. Everybody else has got a chip, and now it's dangerous because you don't have one, and they do.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. They create this agitation and bring forth a solution that further benefits them. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, getting back to your book, because your book is foundational. If people really want to know what is really going on, they've got to understand this. And if they don't believe in the devil, I tell people, you know what? You're down at the bottom of the foxhole. You get your head up and you start going after these guys in the New World Order. You start doing things that they don't like. Let me tell you, when the mortar starts whizzing by your ear and you start having things happen to you, you'll realize you're on track of something bad.
Right.
Something wicked this way comes. And let me tell you, having been fighting against abortion, fetal tissue transplantation, genetic engineering, GMO foods, and then all the exposure to the mark of the beast back working at Falcon Air Force Base as a doctor taking care of these people. I had no idea when I was their doctor. You know, Star Wars Command and so on. These projects are so evil, they're beyond your imagination in the most horrific movie you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil's real. And these ETs that we have out here, they call them extraterrestrials. They're not. They're called demons.
Mm-hmm.
These things are real. If you look at the parallel of alien abduction and demonic activities in terms of possession, they're identical.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do you think they're interested in breeding? Why do you think they're interested in taking, reproductive fluids from people? Why do you think that they're probing with instruments? What do you think is going on?
Mm-hmm.
It's because this is what is happening. And this
yes,
is because
right.
of what's really going on is so evil it's beyond your imagination. You know,
yes.
It says in the Bible, woe to you, earth, and you see, for the devil has come down to you, and great is his wrath. Ancient
mm-hmm.
times, they called him the great serpent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Mayans were a demonic people. They knew that they had the feathered serpent god. They worshipped Luciferian society, the entire society had temples where they ripped the hearts out of their other people. 10,000 people killed in a day, and they'd eat their hearts.
It was just gross.
And these people knew that Quetzalcoatl, the great serpent, feathered serpent, was coming back. Our Bible tells us that, but people don't grasp it. They think, oh, well, no, that's not going to be real. It's not happening. We don't have every secret agency on the planet. 96% of all the science in the world is controlled by these secret agencies. All the drugs brought into America, pretty well, except for a tiniest micro fraction, are brought in by the State Department, the DEA, the CIA. I mean, you get Sully Costillas. You get all the people that I talk to and work with that were raided at Buckley Air Force Base. They flew the C-130s to Afghanistan, loaded with to the gunnels with, pallet loads of food and supplies for our troops and everything, and they'd fly back full of drugs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and when you connect the dots and when they get your book, they'll start to grasp just how serious this is. And we've carried on this discussion before, which will be in your book, and I'm going to give you this information. I took care, because I'm in my mid-50s, I took care of men who were in the First World War in the Banfield Pavilion in 1977 and doing internal medicine in Vancouver, Canada. And those men were in the Highlanders Division, and they went directly into Moscow and into St. Petersburg, which later became Leningrad, under command of the Canadian government. And the Americans, I think, sent the 102nd Division is what I think they sent in there. And they basically took the city of Moscow and the city of St. Petersburg for the Bolsheviks until all of their armaments arrived from J.P. Morgan, who was a proxy of the Rothschilds.
Uh-huh.
And they literally took the cities and then handed the cities over, literally, to them because the Bolsheviks didn't even have pop guns. That's the actual words they used. It wasn't just one man. It was a number of people that witnessed to me. This is the details. And they had to get it off their chest because these men were in the hospital, some of them dying. Some of them with serious lung disease caused by exposure to chlorine, phosgene gas in the First World War, because it was a gas war, a lot of them when they were put at the front later on. After they were brought literally down out of the battlefields in the First World War and set up to take over these cities in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Not even, 1,000 miles from the battlefield.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because this is their plan, just the same way I have people that I've had on my radio shows, John Ragsdale, Milton MacArthur Ragsdale, his father, an electrical engineer and one of the senior scientists working on the pre-Manhattan Project, where they developed nuclear bombs before the Second World War with the Japanese and Germans. And they exploded one in 1939 in the Bikini Atoll that was a plutonium bomb. It's so radioactive today you have to go in a full-body, highest-level grade radiation suit now or you will die within a half an hour of exposure.
Oh.
It's so radioactive there because they used a plutonium bomb. And people don't grasp that there's even a German scientist came out a year ago proving documentation that they blew up a nuclear cobalt bomb, the Germans did, in the Baltic Forest in 1944.
Mm-hmm.
So these are important facts, and when you understand who is behind the scene, the entire war, the entire Second World War, the entire First World War, and the coming Third World War are completely engineered by these Jesuits.
That's
and
correct.
The Illuminati operatives under them, and all of the government officials, and all little puppets like George Bush,
right,
and their various, quote, intelligence agencies like the CIA. And, of course, who founded the major version, the latest version in America, is part of what's called the Omega Project.
Uh-huh.
And the Omega Project, of course, is what's called the daddy of all above government agencies. It is the head of the octopus. It actually connects between the Mossad, the SAS, the Brazilian Secret Security, the Russian GRU, the KGB, the Mossad, the Shin Bet, any organization on the planet, and it controls literally the transfer of intelligence from one to another, so it oversees everyone. And that project is based underground in Colorado, and guess who founded the latest version? It was George Bush Sr., the former director of the CIA. So it's not surprising that since the years of the assassination by George Bush Sr., because there's proof of that now, that the entire U.S. government has been managed by him and his affiliates since the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
That's right.
Look who actually arranged the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan thought he was president, but his vice president, former CIA, a very vicious, very dangerous man, very high level of Knight of Malta,
right,
was the one who called in the hit.
Right. Uh-huh.
And who actually was there in Dealey Plaza and met, I mean, this is from independent people like Greg Szymanski, who called in the hit to kill John F. Kennedy because he wasn't going along with their program to dismantle
right.
America.
Right.
And he was going to actually plan, he went to this in George Washington University, planned on dismantling the CIA,
yes.
planned on bringing back some kind of a sanity to the financial system,
yes.
and they said, that's it, yes. he's done.
Right. That's right.
And they took him out.
And I must be thank Michael Collins Piper, even though I do not agree with the gentleman on many things. He's blaming the Zionists all the time rather than the Jesuits. He did do a good work when he said that the Mossad was involved in the assassination of Kennedy because it makes perfect sense that if Kennedy wanted to dismantle the CIA, that would have dismantled the Mossad.
Well, the CIA, the Mossad is just an arm of it. And by the way, Hamas, which runs the current government in the Palestine, believe it or not, was created by the Mossad and the Shin Bet.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So they have to keep both sides going to keep the agitation going that the Vatican benefits either by the death of those people or by more diplomacy, furthering more power in Jerusalem.
Yeah, they're the masters of both light and darkness. They
right.
create the bombing and the blowing up of Israeli citizens is actually by their own
right.
Mossad, who founded
yes,
Hamas
yes.
and the terror groups, etc.
Because they have to have a common enemy, and therefore they further that unification of those people via a common enemy, either by legitimate bombings or bombings brought about by the Mossad. Agreed totally.
Well, we see it from the very first thing when they went to the King David Hotel in Jerusalem. We saw the things that happened back then. This is not something new. The whole state was founded by terrorists.
Yeah, well, remember, there was a faction going on there, and we can't forget that.
Right.
That there was a faction of Jews who would not be submitted to the Pope. And that was the Irgun with
right.
Vladimir Jabotinsky.
Right.
And then you had the Haganah, subject to Ben-Gurion and Weizmann.
Right.
And, you know, the Haganah was ordered to fire on the Irgun. And so we have two factions there, and of course the one that won was the one that the Vatican backed, which was the Ben-Gurion, Weizmann, and Haganah.
Right.
And that was the end of the Irgun, and Jabotinsky was not allowed to be buried in Israel
right.
at his death. He was later brought in, but years later.
Well,
so,
see, the thing is that God wants Jews to return to the state of Israel when he returns.
That's right. There has to be a nation of Israel pursuant to Ezekiel 38:8 for the Soviet attack to take place in about mid-trib. There has to be a nation of Israel there for and Jerusalem inhabited by Jews for the Antichrist to commit his abomination of desolation pursuant to Matthew 24:15.
Right.
And there has to be a Jerusalem inhabited by Jews for the Lord Jesus Christ to return when his feet touch the Mount of Olives, they split in half pursuant to Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14.
Right.
So the devil wants a nation of Israel there for his universal worship, and the Lord wants a nation of Israel there so that his second coming will be possible pursuant to the prophets. So that nation is never going to be destroyed.
Right, absolutely. And this will require supernatural intervention, and God will bring a remnant out, but
yes.
what he's going to do is cleanse it of those elements within Israel. And there's lots of good people there. A lot of them even just secularized. They've gone through the trauma of the Holocaust. They've gone through the trauma of the destruction of many of their
yeah.
businesses, finances, all their connections for all their families in Europe, and the rejection by North Americans. I mean,
that's
people
right.
don't know this, that in North America there were ships that were actually Jews sent to Montreal, Canada, and to America, and they were sent back to die in Nazi death camps.
St. Louis was not allowed to dock because the Jesuits, controlling FDR through men like Harry Hopkins and Avril Harriman and these other wicked CFR high-level knights, they would not allow that to happen because
right.
they lassoed all the Jews to send them to the death camps and not allow them any place for a place of safety and security.
Right,
so
and
that's
of course,
one of the great keys to show that during the World War II, both the Allies and the Axis powers worked together subject to the Vatican, just like they are now.
Right. And that science has been going on for ages. Just to give you an idea of a few projects that I know about, the Moscow Institute for Biological Research succeeded in very effectively cloning humans in 1982 in Moscow with American and Russian scientists using Russian women as the host for these fetuses. They were working on conjoint projects, which is now the NBIC, to actually create a cyborg, androgenic, hermaphroditic, unisexual, super female soldier that would become a cyborg, and they would make them as clones. This is their actual plan, okay? Their plan is to replace a lot of humanity with these new created, if you want to call it super slaves, that would basically become, in a sense, a non-human machine. And the Russians were involved right through the so-called Cold War, all of it coordinated. All of it coordinated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. In fact, you know, the Jesuits rule Hollywood through their Masonic Jewish Zionists.
Hollywood, you mean? Hollywood?
Yeah, Hollywood. Hellishwood.
Yeah.
But the Jesuits run the Jesuit theater through their high-level notorious Masonic Jewish Zionists, and they tell us what they're doing and what they're going to do.
Well, of course, even the Shabtaitzvi, if you listen to it, you get Barry Shamish's book, Labor Zionism and the Sabbataeanism, which is basically counter Torah Judaism. It's the fullness of Luciferianism to its fullness.
Well, it's Masonic.
It was completely founded by the Rothschilds when Shabtaitzvi went and visited the Rothschilds.
Uh-huh. Makes perfect sense. And also the connection there with Jacob Frank.
Right.
And Jacob Frank was, you know, the founder of the Frankists. And what we need to remember about him is that Jacob Frank and all of his followers were baptized into the Catholic Church in Poland. And Jacob Frank's godfather was King Augustus III of Poland. So all the Frankists were serving the Vatican. In fact, they resurrected the blood libel against the Jews. That is, that the Nazis and the Jesuits using the Nazis always reiterated, cutting the throats of Christians to celebrate their Passover. That was revived by the Frankists, controlled by the Jesuits. Now, Jacob Frank was put in prison for several years, but he was released from prison through the efforts of Catherine the Great, who was controlled by the Jesuits, and Jacob Frank finished out his life in Poland, happy as can be.
Yeah.
But that connection with the Jesuits to the Frankists and those Sabbateans is absolutely essential to see the Jesuits controlled it via Freemasonry.
Right. And if you actually knew the kind of what I call dynastic wealth that the Vatican has below it in the catacombs, it's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Well, you just think about
and
it.
Most of the wealth that was collected by the Nazis.
Yes.
Ended up in the hands of the Pope, not only in facilities in Israel, but also in Switzerland, and also underground in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Underground in Colorado.
Well, here's something that is...
By the Bush family.
By the Bush family, yes.
Yes, by the Bush family. They're, you know, diamond traders, traders in precious artwork, etc. How do you think these people became billionaires of their level? It's because they're criminals of monumental proportions.
Mm. Oh, yeah, well, Prescott Bush involvement with what the Union Carbide Company, Union Banking of in the 1940s when he was working with Fritz Thyssen, a German knight of Malta, to finance Hitler to power.
Well, Tyson is one of the 13 royal families of the that are under the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And remembering, of course, that the Illuminati are merely an extension of the power of the Jesuit order.
Right.
That the Illuminati is subordinate to the Black Pope in Rome. Which,
right.
If you like, I can read a few passages here from Wiley's great work that was written in 1878 concerning
right.
the Jesuits. Second volume, 15th, book 15th, if you'd like
right.
to. Okay, what the listeners need to realize is that we have this great dialectic going. It's the Reformation, the doctrines of the Bible, versus the Counter-Reformation, and the doctrine of the Council of Trent and canon law.
Right.
The head of the Reformation was Luther, the head of the Counter-Reformation was Loyola. And so this is how we see and understand these events. On page 377, Wiley tells us, quote, "It was further clear that the armies would never effect the overthrow of Protestantism. The surged strength of Popish Europe had been put forth to crush it, but all in vain. Protestantism had risen only the stronger from the blows which, it was hoped, would overwhelm it. It was plain that other weapons must be forged and other armies mustered than those which Charles and Francis had been accustomed to lead into the field. It was now that the Jesuit corps was embodied, and it must be confessed that these new soldiers did more than all the armies of France and Spain to stem the tide of Protestant success and bind victory once more to the banners of Rome." It's very important that we see that the Jesuits are the masters of the destruction of historic Protestantism by any means necessary.
And right now, of course, this is from this letter, again, from Albert Pike almost 200 years ago, that's in the British Royal Museum, to a senior member of the royalty, of course, in Britain, that talks about specifically the three world wars, and the third war, of course, is between, quote, the Jews or a return to Judaism, to the land of Israel, and the Islamic nations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all been planned. I mean,
sure.
They are planning and plotting, and we can see this biblically being set up.
Yeah.
We see right now America literally passing technology through the Chinese and Russians.
Yes!
Arming them, we give
it to them.
Letting them, like this guy that is a senior nuclear scientist in Pakistan, proliferate it like crazy. Let the North Koreans have all kinds of technology right up to December of 2002, and then 2 weeks later come out and say how bad they are, when literally back in January of 2003, the Koreans sent a missile and hit Alaska on the coast, missed Anchorage by about 125 miles, because they didn't have accurate targeting technology. But they do now.
Right.
And they now have solid fuel rockets, their new solid fuel Typhoon 5 modified missile. And guess what? They owe $20 billion of debt to Iran. So all Iran has to do is go shopping. And we have a big problem because these missiles can hit the continental United States from over there.
Yeah, they're building our enemies to destroy us.
Right.
The purpose for the Cold War was to build our enemies
to destroy us.
Destroy
and transfer the technology. I talked to a senior aerospace engineer at Lockheed Martin, and he told me, if you just look at the National Library of Medicine, you can actually look at the Russian jets, and they're all basically taken right from our National
Absolutely.
Library.
Absolutely. You look at the MiG-25.
They don't even have proper rivets. The rivets are so big they weren't aerodynamic, so they'd fall out of the sky, but they made them extra heavy because they didn't make them of good materials.
Right. Russia was nothing.
It was a paper tiger.
Piper tiger. Then we could walk over there and do a tap dance on them in 6 months if we really had leadership and going to lead an army to do that. All they did was they had this Cold War so they could build Russia, so they could build China, and so that they could build Saudi Arabia and the Muslim nations to use all three of those together in what I call in my book the Sino-Soviet Muslim invasion they have planned for America.
Right, and here's the actual plan, and this is what I know this from my classified sources. They have a plan to divide America into two sections, an Eastern section run by former CIS Russian and former Soviet countries like Bulgaria, etc., and the western side run by China and the Asian countries. They have pre-placement of weapons underground, and I've actually been to some of these facilities. They have it planned to divide and split America up.
Well,
that's a fact.
All these technologies,
like in December 12, 1993, Lockheed Martin or Sputnik, set up by Bill Clinton, with the help of the Queen, set up a dummy corporation in London to transfer through the Iridium satellite project the targeting technology for the People's Republican Army Strategic Rocket Forces that was being modernized by us and by the Russians to make sure that they could accurately hit American cities. March 19th, 1995, I'm sitting across cutting a roast in front of Major Lynn Wills in my home in Colorado Springs, who's the Chief Missile Command Officer of Strategic Defense Command, who he or his men would call the president if there's incoming nuclear missiles. Told me the previous week they went to DEVCON 4, which is 90 seconds away from locking on what's called Huey, launch on command sequence, which when it's activated with their activation codes, you can't turn it off. It means all their submarine launch and their land-based long-range intercontinental ballistic missiles lock on targets on Chinese and Russian cities, and they're going at 17,000 plus miles an hour.
Mm.
We went 90 seconds away because the Chinese had launched a missile at St. Louis, and didn't tell us they were doing it, and we didn't know if it had a nuclear or a biological payload or a chemical payload, until finally they intercepted the Chinese senior command and they said, oh, there's no payload, and they demanded that they blow it up, and they blew it up about 110 miles over the city, just to make sure that, you know, we can reach out and touch you now. So they're basically signaling back, yeah, we can do it now. So that's why Zhen Zhu, the senior general here just a few weeks ago, said he would, if we interfere with Taiwan, he would nuke and destroy 200 U.S. towns and cities with long-range ICBMs and turn it to radioactive debris.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to know from very specific detail from multiple sources, We have Russian Mossad, see, Russian GRU agents and Israeli Mossad that have nuclear bombs, not just suitcase nukes, but very fairly good size in at least 22 U.S. cities, all pre-placed, waiting for a command to activate them. And literally, in the words of the NSA agent who told me this, they're treated like bananas. They make sure they test the Krytron detonators monthly because they're high-speed nano-detonator switches, and the fissionable material to make certain it's of weapons grade that it'll have a reliable explosion when they're given the command.
Mm-hmm.
This is all set up. They literally got the whole world at a nuclear stalemate with not only American cities, Canadian cities, European cities, Russian cities, Chinese cities. In fact, part of the deal with China is that, by the way, we're going to wire all your cities with nukes, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't need to send a missile. They just need to send a page or a command to some guy, and he's going to press a button, and it's the way it goes.
Yeah. The important thing also to remember is that the Jesuits controlling Russia with the Bolshevik Revolution and Joseph Stalin then also got complete and total control of China with Mao Zedong.
Absolutely. Mao Zedong was actually placed there by the British royal family. In fact, they gave a command last year to the Chinese communist government, the most totalitarian regime in history, that you must privatize all of your construction industry. And guess who bought it all up? The Carlyle Group, owned by the Bin Ladens, the Queen of England, and the Bush Sr. They now own the largest construction company that now is building so much they're using up 85% of all the concrete in the world for building these cities and projects in China. Uh-huh. And guess who owns it? The Carlyle Group and the Queen. The Chinese don't own it anymore.
Makes perfect sense, yes.
So China is just basically another one of these proxy nations
that's been
set up to pollute the hell out of the people, destroy them. And they're taking the land from the poor Chinese people, and the Chinese peasants are rising up with farm implements trying to fight gangs that are coming in with fully automatic machine guns, mowing them down, and they're not taking it. They're going in with their farm implements, and they're running into live gunfire to take down these gangs that have been hired to actually evict people from the land, even if they starve to death.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they're doing, and of course, when you go in, if you're a dissident, you have one page of the Bible in China, you know what happens to you if you try to evangelize? They take you and they tissue type you, and if your tissues are needed by somebody in Britain or anywhere else rich in America, they tissue type you. They whip out your eyes, your kidneys, your heart, whatever organs they want. They have mobile vans all around the country where they can kill you quickly, cleanly, and remove your organs there on the spot. And then what they do is they charge your family for the 38-cent bullet to kill you if they had to shoot you by firing squad. But now they're much more efficient. They use lethal injection to immediately cool your organs after they've removed for you right in the van.
Uh-huh.
In the van. They actually have transplant tissue containers, and they already know your tissue type because you don't enter a prison without being tissue typed in China.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, the Jesuits have a horrible inquisition going on there, and it's so important for us to remember that the Vatican controls China, controls Russia, controls our government, controls the Muslim nations, and if I might read on page 386, one of the purposes for founding the Jesuit order, Wiley writes here, he says, the war in which Loyola and his nine companions enrolled themselves when on the 15th of August, 1534, they made their vow in the Church of Montmartre in Paris, was to be waged against the Saracens of the East.
Right.
They wanted to go to war with the Muslims in the worst way to take Jerusalem from them. And that's why I say this war is the most important war that the Jesuits are waging in 400 years.
Right. In fact, I can tell you right now, here's the scenario. They know that the very first thing that the Iranians will do is mine the Strait of Hormuz. It'll take a half an hour.
Uh-huh.
They can go out with one ship and a mile and a quarter and mine that strait, and they, even if we won, the next day it would take 6 months to remove those mines, and no oil, will leave the Middle East and head to Asia. And 83% of the oil to China, Japan, and nations like Indonesia comes through the Strait of Hormuz.
Mm-hmm.
So buy world economy, buy small business, buy anybody with leveraged debt. You're going. All of your property is now going to be seized by the states and confiscated and foreclosed.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a world crash planned that's going to happen lockstep with this attack on Iran.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, and we've had Loren Moray and Dr. Sternglass, I hope to have them on soon with Loren, who actually helped get the SALT I treaty signed under Kennedy. They plan on having a depleted uranium nanoparticle explosion. They've now proliferated depleted uranium weapons, and it's not just America making these. The Canadians are using them in Afghanistan and elsewhere. These are munitions that fire off and light literally as they leave the barrel of the gun or the tank. At 3,000 to 6,000 degrees, they're pyrophoric, and they're literally 60% of the dry weight of the metal actually is mobilized as nanoparticles that circulate the entire globe. It's poisoning all of us,
mm-hmm.
every living thing on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
They've had the equivalent of 400,000 Nagasakis of radiation that's been exposed to all every living thing
yeah.
since the March 2003 war.
Well, you know, that makes sense, because since the Cold War was a hoax, and they never intend to drop any nuclear bombs, they're taking that nuclear material and using it against the Muslims and with the American weaponry. That makes
right.
perfect sense. That's
what they've done is they've got corporations like Lavaline, which is based in Montreal, Canada, that's selling tons of arms there. They've got other countries. They now have, of course, this you know, another lackey, the Prime Minister of Australia, is working directly with, which group is it now? It's the Halliburton Corporation building a rail line from the central Australian uranium mine that's going to mine $36 billion worth of uranium to their own port, which was built by Halliburton and Bechtel Corporation, to haul out the Queen's uranium out to make sure they can make more weapons of mass destruction.
Makes sense. And when the Chinese go down and take Australia, I'm sure they won't touch any Halliburton assets.
Right. And here's the facts. China, Taiwan is armed to the teeth with nuclear and other weapons. China is going to get whacked really hard when this happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the powers that be at the top are just like, and they're on a feeding frenzy. Oh, there's more million. 90% of the new millionaires worldwide are in China mm-hmm. in the last decade. 90%. In the whole world, 90%.
Mm-hmm.
They've also transported all of our education. They've brought over all of these people from these other countries so they can go back and now...
Right.
Beijing graduates more engineers
right.
than all of our engineers and scientists in North America.
Right.
Just Beijing. University of Beijing, period. That's it. Doesn't even talk about other places like Shenzhen, Chengdu, anywhere else in China. That's what they're doing. They're literally stripping America to the bone.
That's right. Anticipating its destruction while building the kings of the East.
Right.
right.
Uh-huh. And they're specifically doing it just like it says. And, of course, I believe that Tom Horn is in a very important point in his book called The Ehrman Gate, when he talks about them going down there to try to get the Stargate. What we have to understand, the Stargate is not a transportation means, so you can go from this, you know, like the movie Stargate, SG-1 and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Stargate is a demonic portal to open up demonic entities to come from transdimensional space into our realm.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew this. And what they've done, actually, is they're trying to release these demonic entities to come into our realm. And I believe that they actually went down there into Babylon and got these things. They got them right from the museums down there in Baghdad and down in the ancient city of Babylon, which, of course, Saddam Hussein thinks he's a resurrection of Nebuchadnezzar,
uh-huh.
which his name means in ancient Babylonian King of Kings, which is a blasphemy.
Right.
And this is what's going on. People say, why is all this happening? Is it because the devils that are behind this, the Illuminati, the Jesuits, the Knights of Malta, all these people that are Luciferians that worship Lucifer, literally, as their god, they are using the Book of Revelation as their, you know, their operations manual for bringing about their new world disorder.
One thing's most certainly true: the more ungodly people become, the more the refusal to live according to the Word of God and being saved in Christ, the more power the demons have over any culture. And you can see this in Thailand. When my friends were stationed in Thailand in the 70s, there was demon manifestations all the time. They would go to the gambling, they would have their bets, and their Tilak girlfriends would be told that their Buddha gave them the right answer, and then they would win the lottery. So there was all kinds of demonic manifestations in Thailand because of the dearth of the preaching of the Word of God. And when we have that here, we're going to see more and more demonic manifestations.
Well, absolutely.
But
that's
like
why people need to understand, you know, a lot of these above-government projects like the Star Child programs and so on that are the tied with the NSA and the, quote, MIB Men in Black and all stuff, these are real, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're really doing abducting people. In fact, I got a call earlier today from about a lady down in West Virginia that literally was very much involved as a believer, and had a vision, literally, of an underground facility under DIA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they've got a similar thing over here at Hershey Medical Center. Your hospitals are also going to serve as underground centers too. On page 92 of this book, I'll give you one other quote here if you like. Concerning the Jesuits, I hear Wiley writes again. He says, "It was vain to think of overcoming warriors like these unless by combatants of an equal temper and spirit, and Loyola set himself to fashion such. He could not clothe them with a panoply of light. He could not inspire them with a holy and invincible courage which springs from faith, nor could he so enkindle their souls with the love of the Savior and the joys of the life eternal as that they should despise the sufferings of time. But he could give them their counterfeits. He could enkindle them with fanaticism, inspire them with a Luciferian ambition," this is 1878,
right,
"and so pervert and indurate their souls by evil maxims and long and rigorous training that they should be insensible to shame and pain and would welcome suffering and death. Such were the weapons of the men he sent forth to the battle."
Right. In other words, they're part of the death's head, which is the head on the Nazi hat, the death's head, which is like the same thing as the Jolly Roger of the pirates we talked about.
Yes.
This is the death cult.
Yes.
These people believed in a cult of death, and that's the people that are running our government right now. The Bush dynasty, and what I'm very concerned right now. People don't understand. It doesn't matter if it's the Democratic side or the Republican side or the belly of the snake. We've now had the meetings between Hillary Clinton and who's the major media tycoon in New York that has the most expensive penthouse? He's been Rupert Murdoch.
He's having
weekly $10,000 dinners with Hillary Clinton every week for, you know, a whole evening.
Uh-huh.
And now she's there kind of putting on all through the media, the U.S. and Canada, that, you know, now that Hillary now is going to run, but nobody can stop her. They don't like her, but she's still the top candidate. She's going to get the nod.
Uh-huh. Which is going to ensure Republican victory.
Well, I can tell you, when I met Hillary Clinton, I met Hillary and Bill, and Bill is, we call sneaky. You can get that feeling like you wouldn't buy a used car from this guy. But Hillary is scary. She's a diminutive lady, but when you go near her and when you hold her hand, it's like literally holding the hand of death.
This is a very, very
dark lady.
Yeah. She is very much tied to the Jesuit order. In fact, I saw her on TV when she spoke at Canisius College, which is a Jesuit college in New York.
Right.
And so she is totally their servant. And also, for the sake of the listeners, also, I'd like to say that the Jesuits rule America through Georgetown University.
Georgetown University is one of the main ones that sets policy with the CFR.
So they control the CFR, and
right,
it's the CFR that is the operation base for the post-Masonic Jewish Zionists, because it is loaded with many, many Jews. So the CFR is the trusted third party of the Jesuit order to run this government. And the Jesuit order oversees the CFR through its Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., primarily, and secondarily, then Fordham University in New York.
Right.
Yeah. And it's
amazing, this kind of fulcrum of power and how those levers are used to set policy and to even indicate and direct to the president who will be appointed into his government. His heads of the civil service and all the other minions are all directly by the CFR.
Right. And this is a maxim that the Jesuits used throughout other countries, too. For example, in World War II, if you look at the pictures of Yalta and Tehran and Potsdam and others, particularly Yalta and Tehran, you see FDR. And who's behind FDR? Harry Hopkins. Harry Hopkins was a Jesuit who lived in the White House with FDR, who really held no legitimate post, and he was the go-between the CFR and thus the Jesuits to FDR.
Right.
The go-between between Churchill was Anthony Eden. Before Eden went to visit Mussolini, he went to see the Pope.
Right, of course, and that's why George Bush Sr. and Mikhail Gorbachev went to meet with the Pope on the Isle of Malta.
That's correct.
When they declared that they would then end the Cold War.
That's right.
After an agreement with the Pope.
That's right. And in 1945, before they all went to Yalta, they all met at Malta.
Yeah.
They met at Malta. They decided upon the terms of Yalta in instigating the Cold War. And then when they ended the Cold War 45 years later, they did it at Malta. That's right.
Right.
with Knights of Malta, Gorbachev and George Bush.
Right.
Yep.
Which is why Mikhail Gorbachev now has also got a standing professorship at Stanford University, and he was, of course, given specific quarters by the then vice president, senior person, what was the name? Affiliated with Al Gore. I'm trying to think exactly where the details there, but
Gorbachev
got a professorship at Stanford University.
Yeah. And by the way, there was an individual that contacted a friend of mine on my email list. He's a Father Lameta. He's a Filipino who knows the entire system of the Jesuits in the Philippines, how they ruined it. And this particular professor at Stanford made the confession to Bobby that the Jesuits rule the entire transportation system in Madrid. Therefore, that throws tremendous light on the Madrid bombings.
Well, of course, that's why it's sacred numbers. They believe in sacred geometry.
Yes.
That's why the sacred geometry of the original founding cities in America, the sacred geometry of Washington, D.C., the sacred geometry of different parallels, etc.
The Jesuits are Kabbalists.
They're Kabbalists. They believe in all these specific things. That's why it ties in with, it ties in with what I call the abuse of what I call scalar and mathematical technologies that are used to actually be what they call the dark arts of geometry.
Right. Yes. They're masters of every field. There's nothing they're not totally briefed in.
That's right. In every agency, and let me tell you, because I had a very high aptitude in physics back in high school, I taught myself quantum mechanics. I was selected out of one of 7,000 people that even had master's levels. And I was only in grade 11. To go to a special scholarship at MIT and develop advanced nuclear devices, and I decided, no, I wanted to go to honors biochemistry. But I've been recruited multiple times to try to go into these things, and I turned them down, no, including the cyborg project and advanced weapon systems. And unfortunately, my nephew is now finishing his PhD in plasma physics at Princeton. And, of course, what will happen is, he's not heeding any warnings. He will either be inducted into a situation where he won't have any escape.
Right.
What they'll do is they will, put him in some form of compromise, or they'll patch him. And the patch basically means they put a patch on him, and he will be obedient, or the next patch will not arrive, and he will writhe in agony as he dies 3 days later.
Uh-huh.
Or these people that are scientists disappear in underground facilities, never to be seen again.
Right. May I read another quote? Page 394.
Uh-huh.
So stood the Society of Jesus, a deep and wide gulf separated from all other communities and interests, set free from the love of family, from the ties of kindred, from the claims of country, and from the rule of law, careless of the happiness they might destroy, and the misery and pain and woe they might inflict, the members were at liberty, without control or challenge, to pursue their terrible end, which was the dethronement of every other power, the extinction of every other interest but their own, and the reduction of mankind into abject slavery, that on the ruins of the liberty, the virtue, and the happiness of the world, they might raise themselves to supreme, unlimited dominion. But we have not yet detailed all the appliances with which the Jesuits were careful to furnish themselves for the execution of their unspeakably audacious and diabolical design. In the midst of these abysses, there opens to our eye a yet profounder abyss. To enjoy exemption from all human authority and from every earthly law was to them a small matter. Nothing would satisfy their lust for license save the entire abrogation of the moral law, and nothing would appease their pride save to trample underfoot the majesty of heaven. So those are the Jesuits and how they think.
And that quote, where did it come from again?
It comes from Wiley's History of Protestantism, Volume 2, Book 15.
Right, and the thing is, your book is very well referenced like this. That
I will have this, all 50 pages, appended to the back of the book.
Right.
So they can read this if they want to.
Yeah, and the thing is, people need to understand the ancient Greek philosopher that said, those who do not study history are doomed to repeat it. And when we're having programs like this on BBS Radio, I'm trying to connect the dots, whether it's technology, the, quote, extraterrestrial, scalar technology, heavy metal poisoning, geopolitics, religion. And you have to understand, as I always say in my show, if we knew what we were, we would not do what we do. We are a spirit being brought here to know and to serve our God, the God of this universe, the God of billions and billions of stars, in hundreds of billions of galaxies, in an even greater universe that's literally like a speck before the eye of our God. And if we don't understand that our purpose is to hear and to do, which is a Hebrew word meaning Shema, to hear and do and know our God, everything else is all confusion and lies. There really are only two faiths in the whole world. There's only two. You either hear and do what God's will is, or you do the will of the fallen one, Lucifer, who said he would rise to the mountains of the north sides and become literally. And of course, if you look at, and these things are very ancient. If you look at, for example, the ancient pyramid, they call it the Pyramid of Enoch, which is the great pyramid in Egypt. It pointed directly at that time when it was made many thousands of years ago, directly toward the star Alpha Draconis, the dragon star. All these things are not by chance. These ancient peoples knew these things because they were giving this knowledge by you know, supernatural, you know, advanced beings that came and brought, quote, technologies to our world. And they're very evil.
Indeed.
And they have brought and given advanced technologies to our above-government agencies that are also very evil. In fact, I remember in 1999, and I was talking to people, and I'd have people that would have these horrific things about being chipped. And I'd say, at first I was extremely skeptical. I said, oh, come on. Until I had so many people bringing in MRIs and CT scans as they went from city to city, and actual chips that you could observe. Some of them were definitely otherworldly technology that wasn't made on this planet, if you want to call it, that had no business being inside people's brains, inside their bodies, anywhere. And I realized what was going on is when we see things like, you know, a staged alien invasion that Kissinger talks about, this is all demonic. Let's just face the fact, when you have, quote, beings crossing, let's say, light years of distance, what are they doing playing around with, you know, sexual body fluids from humans? What are they doing? What are they doing when we see things that look like ritual sacrifices with organs cut out with looks like lasers? And all the blood drained from animals and human beings, and people disappearing with corporations like DimeCorp that has two at least, representatives on the Capitol Hill actually vying to try to make sure that they get all the possible contracts. And, of course, Rumsfeld's response to Cynthia McKinney, former congresswoman, was, oh, well, you know, that DimeCorp could be put in the penalty box. They had 210,000 people from Eastern Europe alone disappeared in 1 year. Just, I think, a little over a year ago, the European courts actually went and had a trial over it because there were Red Cross workers, International Red Cross, were so appalled by this, these workers, just not the agency, but the workers, they brought this before the European courts, and they went and raised this before the issue, and of course it was so public they couldn't, you know, whitewash it. And they basically declared that DimeCorp literally sold the human flesh, the soul of 210,000 people, into brothels in Israel and Saudi Arabia. By the way, the number one brothel and for human sale of women and children in the world is Saudi Arabia. Number two is Israel. Mm-hmm. Number two.
Well, when I was there, my friend told me that Tel Aviv turns into one big whorehouse.
It is. And not only that, whole buildings, but not only that, they end up in offshore pleasure palaces, or these large cruise ships for the ultra-wealthy that come in on helicopters and so on. As well, they end up as, quote, human veal, literally human flesh that's, you know, human beings, children, women, converted to food for the ultra-wealthy and for experimentation in underground facility and off-world facilities, because we have all kinds of technologies that are space platforms or based on the moon or colony on Mars, all kinds of things, and very nasty things are happening to these human beings. And something needs to be done to stop it, and it's demonic. Let's just call it what it is, and we need to pray against it, we need to stand up to it, and we need to say the end is coming. And our God is God, just like, you know, Nebuchadnezzar had to say to Daniel that your God is God. Our God is God, and he's not exactly going to give any more mercy to these things. They're going to get theirs.
That's right.
Very soon.
That's right. The Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready to punish all disobedience once our obedience is fulfilled.
Absolutely, and that's what we want people. We want the sons. It says, you know, all the creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God. Our destiny as mankind is to be the children of the living God. We are to be in His stead and in listening to His will.
And
the rulers of this universe, we are to spread across the stars and to inhabit the planets and to do His will and to live in peace. But we will not if we do not hear His voice and do what we are supposed to be. We're supposed to have the years like it talks about the restoration of the years and talks about in Isaiah, that we live 1,000, 2,000 years. I see the coming of the advances in technology. The Illuminatists don't want us to have lifespans of 150, 250, 1,000 years. They want to destroy wisdom. They don't want to have intelligent people that are 300 or 400 years of age giving wisdom to their great-great-great-grandchildren. You can't build a new world order if you have wise old people that are hundreds of years old.
Right.
You
we
can't.
Have to kill them all in old folks' homes.
Right.
Yeah.
And when they do go, when they do pass on to the next realm and they enter the realm of their creator God, the God of the universe, they literally will not die, as it says, you know, they shall not taste of death. They shall literally walk from this realm to the next, just like Enoch did. That's what our destiny is.
Yeah, you know, that's our destiny as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, reminding also that the listeners, that if they're not saved, they're going to go to hell and spend eternity in hell away from Him.
Right.
So that's why God commands all men everywhere to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for our personal sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again. And He's commanded all men everywhere to repent and truly believe this great news, that we might have the free pardon of sins, so that the Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God.
And people need to realize it's a process you enter into. It's a covenant process.
And so once you are saved and know Christ personally as your Savior, then He will lead you to do His will. And wherever you are, when you do the right thing, it can only fall out to the suppression and to the restraining of this mystery of iniquity.
Right. Exactly. And now, it's not that we won't suffer persecution, because in this world, I can tell you, like I said, as we in the introduction, as we start our program today, as we step out and we start standing against this evil and against the abuse of technology, against everything that's good and right, just to look at things like the spread of aspartame under Rumsfeld, another demonic entity. And people need to understand this, and this is a fact, okay? One of my friends is Bill Schneblin, who is a believer now.
Yes.
He was a higher than 90th degree Mason, and he told me specifically that what they had to do is he had gotten quite far up in the Masonic orders, and in order to get to the next level, he had to actually go into the priesthood and then learn how to do the specific chants of the Black Mass.
Right.
And the quote, the regular Mass, which is a Catholic Mass, is actually just a reverse archetype of the original, which is the Black Mass.
Right.
It's a Luciferian satanic initiation of blood.
Right.
And he told me that at every level, and I know this is a fact, he said at every level of Masonism, when you get above the York Rite, you have to literally do, in the 33rd degree and up, you have to do a blood human sacrifice.
Yeah.
And you have to basically induct a spiritual entity into the person who is asking to be elevated to a higher order within the, quote, Masonic levels, in order to, so you're basically asking for demonic possession.
Yes, yes.
And that's why when you see the transformation of people like Adolf Hitler, when he became an initiate inside these higher levels of Masonism, he was transformed from a relatively, you know, mundane art worker part-time into a demonic entity that was completely indwelt by a higher entity that completely ruled him.
Yep, right, just like Joseph Stalin. I had a friend tell me that he had an uncle, I believe, that was above a 33rd degree Freemason, very deep in it. He told Greg, he said, when I go into a baseball stadium, he said, I can see every high-level Mason in that stadium because I can see a shaft of light over their head. And I believe him. So, yeah, they have this high-level brotherhood. It's controlled by the devil.
A shaft of light, you mean a light from the dark side.
Yes, yeah, a shaft of light from the dark side,
right.
From the devil,
yeah.
that he could obviously see his other high-level brother Masons in the entire baseball stadium.
Of course.
Yeah. But yeah, here's another quote, if I might.
Go ahead. Yep.
But further, these sons of Loyola are the kings of the world and the sole heirs of all its wealth, honors, and pleasures. And whatever law, customs, sacred and venerable office, august and kingly authority, may stand between them and their rightful lordship over mankind, they are at liberty to throw down and tread into the dust as a vile and accursed thing.
Right.
The moral maxims of the Jesuits are to be put in force against kings as well as against peasants. Now, one more sentence. What a harvest of plots, tumults, seditions, revolutions, torturings, poisonings, assassinations, regicides, and massacres has Christendom reaped from the seeds sown by the Jesuits. Nor can we be sure that what we have yet seen, that we have yet seen the last and greatest of their crimes, unquote.
Right. And, of course, this crusade, which is about to start, and has started the initial phases of it with the Gulf War I and now Gulf War II.
Yes.
And now this third, if you want to call it, advance of this crusade, is going to bring the world into the full expanse of a geopolitical collapse, a financial collapse, an environmental collapse, basically to bring the world to the ancient ceremony, which is a Babylonian Sumerian ceremony called Pahanuk, which is the ceremony of the phoenix. It's no different than the dance of the eagle dancer in Middle America with the Aztecs and the native peoples there.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely the same dance, basically, that's done in South America with the dance of Quetzalcoatl, the serpent feathered god.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go back to this, you have to see the word human. In fact, if you don't see the word human through the Bible at all, the reason is Hugh is a Welsh word that means serpent. And in fact, the Magna Carta, I believe it was 1216, I think it was a Magna Carta by King John.
Yeah.
These people claim to be Merovingians. Basically, they claimed, and this is where it ties in with the Da Vinci Code, they claimed this abomination, which is a lie, that they were blood descendants from Jesus, who was the rightful ruler of, quote, the people there, the king of Israel. And they therefore claimed their kingly right, of course, through the Pope. The Pope had to canonize them. They were basically under his authority. But they were all humans, and the word human means serpent man. So if you go to Edinburgh Castle, to the Sinclair Castle, what you'll see is actually in the top of the capital, you'll see a thing called the Green Man. And what it really means is that no property could be owned by anyone, a commoner. And their commoners were in ancient English called mansters or monsters, that only humans, which are serpent men, could own property. And a serpent man was one who had to be dwelt, literally, by Lucifer and his minions, his demons, because you could not elevate within the realms of the royal nobility unless you were indwelt, because you had to have a demonic entity take you over for you to own property, because only the demons, the serpent men,
using the priests and the nobles. Yeah, and that makes perfect sense, because the Bible, the Word of God, breaks the power of the devil over individuals like that, and so thus you can have the rise of the middle class.
Right, and of course, one of the big lies is that these people, even if they're very far in it, they don't realize there is no such thing as a sin that can't be forgiven by God.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you've done, you could have eaten 10,000 children. You could have fomented wars to kill millions. You could
That's
have
right.
done anything. There is no sin that cannot be repented from.
That's right.
And that's what people need to realize, is that the power of all of God's power for mankind is released in forgiveness. And they need to understand this is a spiritual power. It's a technical power. There's a technical solution to every single problem in the world, and it's already been given in visions and patents and everything to all kinds of individuals over the last century. But it's been snuffed out,
yes.
squashed,
yes.
put away, stuck in drawers, put in safes, and destroyed, because
yes.
these demonic entities own and control the universities, the technical elite, the governments, all of the organizations that run everything are run by these monsters.
Yes.
And they are,
yes, they are
humans. They are serpent man. They are indwelt by the fallen, the Nephilim,
yes.
the fallen ones who are the demonic transdimensional entities that call themselves ETs now, but they aren't. What they really are is they're devils.
Yeah.
They're a higher order being that is presuming to take our destiny away from us.
Yeah. It's the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it doth work. And the Holy Spirit's hindering the mystery of iniquity to coming to fruition, and keeping that man of sin from coming to power until the fullness of the Gentiles become in.
Right.
And that God has his predetermined number of his elect that he will save through the preaching of the gospel. And as we preach the gospel here, I'm sure that there are some of the Lord's elect listening who are not yet saved, maybe deeply into sin, that need to realize
Or they're deeply into something strange. They're into what I call cosmic Buddhism, or they're into something else. They have to understand that when the invasion was made by the Russian troops that went into Berlin, they found 1,100 Buddhist dead Buddhist monks.
Yes, that what were they called? They were the Green Men or something like that. I was reading about Himmler had brought them in from Tibet.
Right, and you know the reason why? Because they're using what I call scalar technology. They're using the ancient mysteries of using the Aum and the vibratory technologies and so on. These are extremely ancient. People don't understand what's really going on, and they were using these to open what's called the rents in the continuum, so that they could allow demonic entities to enter from the other world.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was happening.
Yeah.
And all these technologies that all of a sudden just bloomed onto the scene immediately, like, you know, the German saucer programs and NASA and the mind control and everything, all came out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And these technologies, and in fact, the formation of all of our agents, the OSS, the CIA, the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, all of them were founded on the agencies that came over from Nazi Germany.
Absolutely.
By the cardinals and the Pope, who actually formed the rat line to actually remove all of these scientists and technical people into America and other nations.
That's right. And according to
Canada.
Yes. And according to Lucidius Ferrego's work, he says that Pius XII personally chartered Bishop Houdon with the getting out of all of his Nazis, important Nazis, out of Europe, to the end that Bishop Houdon got out 50,000 Nazis and SS out of Europe into Central South America and North America so that they could continue their Reich secretly and under the guise of the protection of the Vatican in control of the American government through the Archbishop of New York.
And what we are living under right now in America and literally through American hegemony worldwide is the Fourth Reich.
Yes.
We are living in the American Fourth Reich. In fact, the Luftwaffe never surrendered. And I know this for a fact. I won't release his name yet because he won't let me do that. But I know a senior nuclear engineer that worked on the Aurora space project that flies between here and our base on the moon and our colony on Mars. And that we have literally fleets of these Aurora spacecraft and other space vehicles. And they are piloted not only by American and by other foreign pilots, but by a completely co-equal Luftwaffe that's directly descended from those that were formed after the secret treaty of Fort Hunt with General Reinhard Galen.
Yes.
And when they actually transported and brought in all these scientists, like, you know, the scientists for forming the NASA rocket programs, the mind control projects, all of these things came directly out of Nazi Germany, and collaborative projects like the nuclear weapons projects that came out from the University of Chicago, the Oak Ridge National Lab, the Livermore Laboratories in California, all of these have been working long before Second World War.
Yeah.
Between America and Germany. Long before.
It makes perfect sense again here with the Knights of Malta connection. In fact, I have a little article here written in 1986 out of a magazine that concerns the Knights of Malta, and we read here concerning Reinhard Gillen. The crusading nature of the Knights led them both to virtually launch both the Cold War, the McCarthy witch hunt, by the way, which was backed by Jesuit Edmund A. Walch.
Right.
And the last great crusade known as the Vietnam War. In preparation for the Cold War, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta gave, on November 17, 1948, its Grand Croix al Merito Complaca to none other than Reinhard Gellin, a former head of Nazi intelligence and one of the linchpins of the Dulles CIA drive against the Soviet Union.
Which, of course, we have Dulles Airport now, and it goes back to Mr. Andrew Dulles.
Yes, yes.
Who actually was one of the chief architects of bringing all these people in, and, of course, so were the Bush family with Prescott Bush, who actually, through Union Bank, funded the General Motors Panzer tank factory in Germany that could neither the American, Canadian, or British Air Force drop any bombs on those buildings that were funded by Union Bank. During the Second World War.
Uh-huh. Wonderful connection, Doc. Thank you so much.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Well, they did the same thing with IG Farben. They couldn't bomb the IG Farben complex,
of course not, which, of course, is now Bayer Corporation, La Roche, and all these other spin-off corporations that formed all the mind-control drugs. All these drugs came out of the same death machine.
Yeah. And I want to add add one thing else here. The author also says, for the record, Gillen's brother, I almost fell over when I read this. For the record, Gillen's brother was the secretary to the then head of state of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, Count Thun Hohenstein. So here we have not only Gillen, but his brother Knights of Malta, and his brother's tied to the head of state of the sovereign nation of the Knights of Malta to this German count.
Right.
Yeah. And then it shows their connection also to James Angleton. And Angleton not only manned the Israeli desk in the CIA, but he manned the Vatican desk.
Right.
And thus he was the connection between the Vatican to the Israeli Mossad, the Israeli government, and he was the mole in the CIA. He was the one that was working with Gallitzin. Gallitzin was a Knight of Malta.
Right.
And Angleton gave all our military secrets away to the KGB and who in turn killed probably over 1,000 agents in Russia.
Well, you know, here's the thing that people think. They think that the Soviet Union and Russia was an atheistic nation. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Right.
Atheism for the masses.
Right.
It was by constitution the Russians would not allow more than 10% of the population to join the Communist Party. Mm-hmm. The actual fact is that the seven oligarchs in Russia were purely run by the same people who set up the nation of Israel. In fact, Israel was born out of the seven oligarchs in Russia.
Sure.
It was founded by the Russians. In fact, the early help for the revolution to set up the nation of Israel was actually funded, supported, and operationally operated by Russia.
Well, here this brings in another thing that's often neglected. I believe that the Russian branch of the Knights of Malta, who control the oligarchs of Russia, like the Turkle family, that they secretly worked in conjunction with the Bolsheviks, that the Okhrana, what became the Cheka, and that the Knights of Malta, many of them in Russia, left the country and made a big deal that they'd lost everything, like Count George de Morenschild.
Right.
And so it makes the world look like the whole Bolshevik Revolution is against the Knights of Malta, when in fact they backed it. The Lubyanka was an insurance company building before it was made that torture inquisitional center, controlled
right.
by the Knights of Malta. And the Russian Grace Company that was a link between the American and Russian branch of the Knights of Malta, or what did become the American branch in 1927, continued during and after the Bolshevik Revolution.
Right.
So they created
in fact,
this whole
total collaboration all along, even the advancement of the Volga River plant that built by General Motors, and Ford Corporation, the largest tank factory in the world, was built during the days of Eisenhower under executive order from President Eisenhower.
Uh-huh.
It was one of the most evil presidents that
yes.
ever existed.
Oh, yes. He killed all those Germans with some 2 million Germans. After
you ever hear of an operation called Operation Keel Hall?
Yes. Yeah, Keel Hall, where he sent, I believe, it was 700,000 Russian soldiers back to Stalin. And when they were boarding their trains and the trains were taking them back, they stuck their heads out the windows and they put a slice across their throat, telling the Americans, Stalin's going to kill us all. And that's exactly what he did.
Right. And yeah. It wasn't just the 700,000 there. What I heard is that the total number killed by America and its allies after the war was greater than all the Germans killed before the war from starvation and death. And many of them were sent back to die in these death camps, disappeared within the Soviet system. And, of course, it was full cooperation into human experimentation, even of American military personnel. Many thousands of them disappeared into Soviet experimentation, human experimentation camps as well.
Yeah, I totally believe it.
All part and all cooperative between President Eisenhower and the then president, who was
Joseph Stalin.
Joseph Stalin, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, the dirty sinners all worked together. The Mossad and Spellman was the master of Eisenhower. You know, Eisenhower.
Of course, that's why he was advanced so quickly. He was a junior
that's right.
nothing, and all of a sudden he became a senior general, and then was put right in that position. And of course, anything they told him to do, he bid immediately.
Absolutely, he was CFR member, controlled by Archbishop of New York Francis Spellman. And it was then Spellman who made him president after Truman left his office.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we have to understand the absolute supremacy of the Roman hierarchy in this country, that we are ruled by them, that St. Patrick's Cathedral is the palace of the Archbishop. It's across the street from Rockefeller Center. Rockefeller Center is a hub of all the intelligence agencies, from the Mossad, the GRU, the SIS, all of it's there. in conjunction with the CIA, putting out the our controlled press with Time Life and so on. And the important thing is we see the connection between the CFR Rockefeller Center there in New York, right across the street from St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Right.
And by the way, the head of the American Lange, or the American Tongue, for the Knights of Malta is St. Patrick's Cathedral. And if any of your listeners can please get me the three lists, the Eastern, the Southern, and the Western lists of the American Knights of Malta since their inception in 1927, I would greatly appreciate it, and I will post it.
Absolutely. That's amazing breadth of knowledge you've developed on this. And again, if you don't understand these facts, you're going to be completely fooled. And there's many things parading as religion or belief or truth, whatever, and they have a portion of power because Lucifer obviously gives his people at least temporarily power while he's getting ready to eat them.
Right.
Whether it's physically, emotionally, financially, or otherwise, and of course the ultimate plan is to steal, kill, and destroy, which is why we're literally facing World War III is coming. And this is not imaginary, it's not a rehearsal, this really is, and we have maniacs and idiots like Bush who actually are ready to do an operational plan with Dick Cheney, who was actually in a bunker doing 9/11, running the whole thing.
Yeah.
This war was not just caused and operated, you know, as a incompetence by our government. It was completely operationally produced by the government.
Absolutely. Rudy Giuliani was a part of it, sure.
Absolutely.
I think we also had a touch, Doc, on this other subject that would be probably very beneficial to your listeners, and that is this Jesuit quest in all your alternative media to blame the Zionists and thus the Jews.
Exactly. And, of course, yeah. Part of that reason is that the real Zionists, or which are what are called biblical Zionists, know if you actually study it and you talk to a real Torah Jew, not one of these people who are off into their own ideas, they know that they are not even supposed to return to the land until Messiah comes.
Well, we know that they will be brought back in carriages and carts after the Messiah comes. Isaiah 66 is clear. But we also know that there is to be an Israel in a condition of unbelief in existence before the return of Messiah.
In fact, if you want to know the fact, when I went first to Israel in 1992, I thought, I'm going to be so godly that I'm going there. How naive I was.
Right,
you the darkness, the most dark place that I've ever been on the planet.
We know the Jesuits.
Was in Jerusalem by the Great Synagogue.
Uh-huh.
I could not stop crying when I was near that.
Yeah.
I could not tell the darkness near the Great Synagogue in Jerusalem was the darkest place I've ever been on the planet.
Yeah.
And I've been underground in underground cities. I've never felt anything more horrific.
Yeah. And the other thing is that I believe that the Jewish people, the Lord's beloved Hebrew Jewish Israelite Jewish people,
those
are synonymous terms, that they have a God-given right to the land given to them in Genesis 15 after the Lord instituted the Abrahamic covenant with Abraham.
Right.
And because the Mosaic covenant has been disannulled through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that they have a right to be in that land apart from obedience to the Mosaic law.
Right.
Therefore, the Jews have a right to be there, and the Arabs do not have a right to be there. And I advocate their friendly repatriation to other Arab lands that can easily afford to bring those Palestinian or Muslim Arabs there.
Right.
So, and also what I advocate is that this government that runs Israel is controlled by the papacy, just like our government.
Right.
Therefore, it is intrinsically evil. So what I advocate is that that government be removed and some true Jews there govern the nation of Israel for the benefit of those Jews who are there.
Right.
And so therefore, what we have now is because we have this constant hue and cry against Zionism, with all your alternative media radio people.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of them that are trying to say, yeah, they're against Zionism, yeah. The current form of Zionism, which isn't Zionism at all, the true biblical Zionism, what they have is a Luciferian empire in Israel, which is now developing race-specific bioweapons, the third nuclear power in the world, ready and triggered to cause a nuclear holocaust to destroy most of what's living on the planet.
And the reason why nuclear weapons...
Like Israel is being made as a detonator for the end of the world.
Well, see, I believe Israel, their power will be broken. We know the Bible teaches their power will be broken in the tribulation, and they will flee into the wilderness for 42 months, according to Revelation 12.
Right.
So ultimately their power will be broken, but the nation will not be destroyed, the people will not be destroyed, because Messiah will save them.
Right.
But what's happening, I believe, is that the Vatican made sure they were given nuclear weapons because this is the Kingdom of Jerusalem. In the Dark Ages, they had the Kingdom of Jerusalem, which is about the same landmass that we see Israel at the 67 war.
Right.
And the only purpose that the Jesuits want us there is to secure a rebuilt temple. They don't care about the Jews.
No,
if
they
them get
care
killed, they couldn't care less.
In fact, here's what the Pope's plan is, and just reveal this, because I've got the same words from a Jew, from Barry Shamish, that the Pope has already received an agreement from the Palestinian Authority, from the Israeli Authority, and everything. He's deeded the land. They're going to build a universal temple that's
yes.
acceptable to all faiths, whether you happen to be Christian, is Muslim, Jewish, Catholic, Buddhist, you know, you Baha'i, anything you want. You just come there.
Well, the Bible does teach, though, that it is the temple of God.
Right.
Revelation 11, 1 and 2, it's the temple of God. And for the abomination of desolation to happen, there has to be a true temple of God there. So it will be a Hebrew-Jewish temple.
Oh, of course. But what they'll do is they're going to set up wings of it, which will allow it to have other things there.
That's probably true, because in Revelation 11 it says, but the outer court is given to the Gentiles.
Right. So in other words, there will be a wing. It says, on the wing
yes.
of the temple, and
yes.
there shall set up an abomination that shall desolate. What it means by that is, it's an abomination against the creator of the universe, and it will desolate or remove the population of Jews from that half of the city of Jerusalem, and they want to split it around the Mount of Olives, which is interesting. It's near, there's an area they call Abu Dis, which is right beside Bethlehem, and that's why we have all of this going on. It's just, it's amazing that all these things are happening exactly as it says in the Bible. And this is not just a partially accurate document, it's exactly accurate.
Yeah, it's the Word of God. But back to the Zionistic thing, we have to be concerned that rightfully so, the Pope's Masonic Jewish Zionists need to be blamed for their evil deeds. The Mossad, who runs the Mossad, and what happened at 9/11,
right.
and Rabin being
well,
involved.
Mossad
in
put those things in. Who runs the security system for the White House right now? It's Israeli companies, and there's no bid.
Uh-huh.
And what is that going doing? Where the American companies can go and run a bid
for
security on our White House in Washington D.C. and it's run by an Israeli company under direct control of the Mossad.
Yeah, but
how logical is that?
Here's the brilliance of that. The Jesuits made sure that happens so that ultimately their agents can say, look at this. Look, it's those stinking Jews that are running the security agency for the White House to further create anti-Jewish fury in this country.
Absolutely, and that's what they want to do, and that's why what I say to Jews, they say, oh, it should be so wonderful to return to Israel. I said, well, I'll tell you what. They want to create a ghetto of Israel. So they get all the Jews back from Russia, the former CIS nations, the areas of America, Canada, and elsewhere, so they can kill them all in one place.
That's exactly right.
And that's why they want to do that. And they also want to kill all the Arabs, because there is a promise to the Arab peoples, too, under
that's
the
right. That's
of
right.
Abraham.
To Ishmael.
They receive a promise as well.
To Hagar, that's right. Isaiah 19, the Lord calls them my people. Israel, my inheritance, and Syria, my people.
Right.
So, yes, they have promises to inherit, too. So it's only right, then, for the devil to try to kill them all, too.
Yeah, and I get a lot of consternation among what I call well-meaning, incorrect Islamic people who think that their religion was founded on goodness and respect and godliness.
No.
They tell me there's 119 names or something for their God. The name of Allah is the name of the moon war god, which was thousands of years before was known in Mecca and Medina.
Mm-hmm.
This is known.
Mm-hmm.
What the actual man who wrote down a hundred and some years later after the death of Muhammad, the Quran, was a Jewish academic who was actually entombed in a pit. By the caliph,
uh-huh.
who after 18 years of writing, finally he finished it. And he wrote things into the Quran, which makes it clearly, if you happen to have the knowledge, like I've talked to people who are experts in the Judaic knowledge, they know this. Advanced Jews that are very good academics know that the Quran was written by a Jew. They didn't even have a written language. He actually invented the characters
uh-huh.
for the Islamic alphabet, were created by this academic from Babylon.
That makes sense. And the other thing is that this that this person who wrote it, probably in the 7th century,
right,
was an agent of the Vatican. That the Vatican was using its agents to write the Quran because the Vatican at that time, wanted to raise up a sword to kill off all the North African non-Roman Catholic Christians,
right,
and the racial Jews.
Because you know, yeah, exactly.
And so that's why they did it. So I say Islam is now totally taken over by
the Jews. And of course the non-Roman Catholic Christians, see, there was a very great split between the church. That's why there were autonomous Christians that did not give any allegiance to the Pope,
yes,
including
they
the Maronite Christians in Lebanon. And they have their own spiritual leader and have had for thousands of years.
Right.
And
right.
My family were direct descendants there from those Christians that were in Lebanon, which they did not give any allegiance to the Pope. They were more like the Greek Orthodox.
Right. So anybody that does not give a total allegiance to the Pope, spiritual and temporal power, is a heretic, is an accursed heretic pursuant to the Council of Trent, and is worthy of death.
Right.
And so the Jesuits are now in total control of Islam, and they are going to use it as their sword against Western civilization. And the reason why I believe it's going to succeed is because the American people are no longer a Bible-reading people.
Right.
And therefore, they're going to get sucked into this false attack against all Jews in the name of it's the dirty Zionists. And the Jesuits will have succeeded in diverting all the attention away from themselves, who really created Zionism,
right, and
onto
also
the world's beloved Hebrew-Jewish race that will be persecuted here exactly as was done in Germany, and thus secure the destruction of that country pursuant to Genesis 12, 1 through 3.
And they also want to do it to turn hatred against all of the good Arab peoples. Many of them, in fact, most of the quote Christians in the Middle East were Arab.
Yes. Yes.
And they want to get rid of them.
Yes, well,
all of them, whatever religion they are, because they're an impediment to their total hegemony.
Yes, and yet when I was in Jerusalem a couple of years ago, I went into an Arab restaurant, and they were very kind to me, served me a very nice meal, and they played beautiful, reformed Protestant Christian music over the radio. And I thought, you know, well, there are these Arab believers here who love the Lord, and they are not permitted to really to evangelize in Israel because it's against the law.
If you're an Arab believer and you've actually been a believer in the city of Jerusalem since the day of the apostles of Jesus, if you try to evangelize, it's considered a crime in Israel today.
Yeah, it's a missionizing law. They passed it in, 1977?
Right.
And so this is the perfect Jesuit state. The Jesuits would want to have a law like this so that the gospel does not get out, and therefore there's no real power to resist them.
They turn into a tourist trap, but you can't actually talk about the power of the God of the universe.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's what they're thinking now. Oh, they wanted people to be greedy, or they'll throw more baubles if they turn literally the city of Jerusalem into a kind of a, put a new big temple there, put a big tourist trap, lots of hotels, lots of people sell trinkets, but don't talk about the saving power of the God of the universe.
That's right.
No way. You want to make sure you just have lots of commerce going on, and people feel very holy that they're going into this resurrected temple.
Right. And I have a friend, Fred Twigg. He lived in Israel for 15 years. He said the Orthodox Jews treated the Messianic Jews terribly. He said they would go up to their churches and beat the doors in, beat the walls in, and it was just absolutely terrible how they treated the Jews.
I know Avi Mizrahi in Dizengoff Circle in Tel Aviv, and we're friends. And he told me about how many times that when Russian Jews would come down and become believers in Messiah, how they would lose their job. They could be neurosurgeons. They couldn't get a job sweeping in front of a cafe.
Right.
How they would lose all their money from the Israeli government. How they'd be starving and end up freezing out there. And the Christians would take them in, the Messianic Christians, and try to help them.
Right.
And the persecution and the bombs placed in these buildings and the things done to them were unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And the Jewish people there do not realize that the greatest patriots in Israel who want to protect the nation and have their own home and want the government to do right are the Messianic Jews.
Right.
I met probably 15 of them when I was there. And they all hate the government because they understand it's run by the Vatican. And they would love to have another government where they could truly have religious freedom there to preach the gospel, while at the same time be truly nationalistic, as every Christian needs to be truly a nationalist, defending his own nation.
Right. In fact, there's less freedom, listen to this, in Israel than there is in China to practice your religion. You can't evangelize in China, but at least you can express it. But if you do it openly in Israel, it's considered a public crime.
Yeah. Well, I was told by a missionary guy that was there. He had a friend that preached the gospel on the corner. They arrested him. They flew him out of Israel, the first plane out of Ben Gurion Airport.
Right.
Yeah. So that's obvious that it's controlled by the Vatican. The Vatican is the great suppressor of the preaching of the gospel on the streets, of the mass evangelism, because they hate the Bible, they hate the gospel, they hate anybody that wants to truly be born again. I'm talking about the Roman hierarchy, because that's what breaks their spiritual and thus their political power over any country.
Now, this is the kind of world that these monsters want to create. They want human beings to no longer be able to reproduce naturally. They want to have them, say, 2025, to be reproduced in laboratories. They want to vastly reduce the world population, so they've created weaponized avian flu. They want depleted uranium to sterilize the population and cause genetic malformations. They want us to eat GMO frankenfoods that ruin our health and destroy us and shorten our lifespans to 30 years or less. They don't want human beings around 2, 3, 4, and 500 years.
Right.
They want to destroy people's health.
By the way, you mentioned that
there's a lack of technology, because I have, just on my own website, NutriMedical, dozens of technologies that already can increase your lifespan 30 to 50% or more.
Sure.
And soon we'll have many that will multiply that many times.
Well, I have no doubt that every man should be able to live 100 years of age.
Absolutely. And the reason why we have this is that without the survival of wisdom, and wisdom comes with years in serving God, when you have wisdom and you have grandparents and great-grandparents, you have a thing more precious than the most precious stones or gold.
Right.
And when that's gone, you can steal the children. You can steal the grandchildren, because the great-grandfather, the great-great-grandfather is not there, and the great-great-grandmother to protect through their wisdom the people.
Yes, that's right.
And
that's
wisdom,
I will never
from spirit say, wisdom, I call it, not just wisdom of knowledge of things, but knowledge of what the universe is and what we are and what our destiny is.
Right.
And the heritage is stolen not just by stealing the children, it's by stealing the elderly. And that's why, of course, all these toxins, like these mercury-laced vaccines, if you take them, they fry your brain.
The amount
of organic brain damage now has gone up 300% in males last decade, over age 60, 300% increase in organic dementia, 200% increase in females in the last decade.
Uh-huh.
That's not acceptable.
Absolutely not.
It's not.
And
these things aren't happening in a vacuum if you don't understand the work that you've put together. This took you many, many, many years putting this together.
Yeah.
You will not understand the roots of the American health care monstrosities. It's not a health care industry. It's a disease and a death industry.
I call it the Holy Office of the Inquisition under another name in my chapter 49.
And the fact is, I'm trained as a physician surgeon.
Okay.
I can help people.
We're
they don't want to help.
End.
They don't want to turn off diabetes. They don't want to detoxify people. They don't want to have natural things that can help the body heal cancer.
Right.
It's bad for business.
Right. And here's another thing you mentioned on HIV. HIV was developed, to my understanding, by Robert Gallo.
Absolutely. That's
Robert
why you knew
Gallo,
all about it.
Robert Gallo was an Italian Roman Catholic papal knight, and
right.
he was given the sword of Ignatius Loyola in 1988 from St. Louis University.
Yeah, and as a cap off for today's program, because we're going to be closing in a few minutes, I want people to know that in about July your book will be an e-book available, Vatican Assassins Edition 3. It's a DVD. If they print it, it'll be about 8.5 pounds,
right.
many, many photographs, quotes, references. People need to know this. It doesn't matter what, quote, faith you've had in the past. Read it. As I tell people, please don't believe anything I say or anyone that comes on the program, but study to be approved. Find out for yourself what the truth of history is. Find out for yourself what the truth of history is, that we have been lied to, manipulated, controlled, and prepared for consumption.
We're coming down to the end of the hour.
Absolutely. And your website again
is VaticanAssassins.org.
And really appreciate you being on the program. It's been a wonderful 2 hours.
And
Eric, we covered
Doctor.
A lot of territory.
My pleasure, and I'm thankful that your listeners tuned in.
I hope that we can have you on regularly, because I think once people understand this, they'll start to put together everything from the above government technologies, the secret agencies, the planned wars, the avian flu, all of the plan on terror. All of these things were engineered by these monsters that have an intention to steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
And we do have a heritage to speak out. We will be counted, and we will be the ones that will enter this new age of peace that is coming.
And by the way, the general that's running this war in Iraq, he's General Casey. He's a Georgetown graduate of 1970.
Wow.
Yes.
See, all
bless you, Doc.
I appreciate it, Eric, and thank you there at BBS Radio, Don and Doug. And thank you for listening, and do check it out. And when the book becomes available in July, read it. And then, you know, find out the truth for yourself, and then you will be set free. As it says, the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everyone. Take care and take action.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.